really great readings this weekend. Broken, huh? Broken. Have you ever said, how can God let this happen? You hear it a lot nowadays, actually. How can God let this happen? Shootings, wildfires, cancer, Gaza, the Sudan. How can God let this happen? So people look at all the stuff that happens in the world, and there's various responses. A big one is they just blame God. I don't believe in God, because how can God let this happen? Okay. There's some kind of old school who say, well, God's mad. This is a punishment. I think I told you about the time that I was chaplain on an OB gynecology ward. That's a whole nother story. And there was an elderly woman who was having some pretty serious surgery, and I said to her, her name was Henrietta. I said, Henrietta, what do you think about what's going on? She said, Father, I was pretty wild when I was young, so I think God's just getting me back now. I said, Henrietta, if God's getting you back, I better get a bed next to yours. Punishment, okay? Or some get really pious and they say, well, you know, I don't understand, but I'm sure it's God's will. We say those kinds of things because we try to find meaning in our brokenness, huh? Human beings do that. Golly, how can we do this? So the readings that we have this weekend, I think, help us. That first reading that we have from the book of Chronicles. So we hear this account that the people were really wholly sinful. They were tearing the temple down and destroying things and being blasphemous. And the next paragraph says, and if you're looking on page 7, the second paragraph says, early and often did the Lord, the God of their fathers, send his messengers to them, because he had compassion on his people and his dwelling place. So God was always sending prophets, sending help, sending what we now call the good news. And those people wound up getting persecuted and killed. Little note there for us to remember. And so the people who were doing all these abominations were ultimately conquered and made slaves. So did God do that? Was that God's fault? I love this reading, this gospel reading. The section right before the one that we have today said that Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. It's the original Nick at night, if you're paying attention. And it's a sign, of course, the fact that Nicodemus was in the dark. He was trying to understand, so he was asking Jesus these questions about, you know, how can I be born again? And so in the gospel today, it says, Jesus said to Nicodemus, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. And then we have the great passage that we see in stadiums. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that all who believe in him may have eternal life. So this is the thing this morning. What is eternal life? I think one of the reasons that a lot of people don't go to church or don't believe in God is they say, well, I'll wait till I'm old, and then I'll deal with that question. And then they die in a car accident. Oops. It's not just for old people. What's eternal life? Every time you and I pray the Lord's Prayer, we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now listen to that line. Eternal life is not out there. It starts now. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's a passage in the New American Bible that said, that talks about eternal life, and it says, you know, it's not so much about immortality as it is a quality of life. Jesus says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that's where we come in here, folks. And this is where all that social justice, equality, some people would say political stuff comes in. You better believe it's political. If you go to a church and what's being preached doesn't have political ramifications, you better get out of there. Because Jesus didn't come to make us nice. He came to transform us. Period. Came to transform us. And so the eternal life that Jesus promised us begins in this life. And not just for me, but for everybody. And it's going to come to its fulfillment, God willing, when we meet our Maker on the last day. But it's not like, well, I'll worry about that when I get there. There's a sign on billboard on Highway 20 that has the heart thing, you know, the beat from the machine, and then it goes flat and it says, when you die, you will meet God. Whether you believed in him or not, there's not going to be a line for believers and a line for non-believers. You will meet God. And so if we think that eternal life starts, you know, the day my heart stops beating, we've missed the boat. Because if eternal life is total communion with God, we need to start doing that now. It needs to be a part of our life now. And whether or not it happens depends on our response. And so the thing of it is God, just like in the Old Testament, has sent messengers all the time. Sometimes the messengers were your folks. Might have been a pastor. Might have been people who are trying to get you to make a change in your life. God sent messengers because he was compassionate. God continues to send messengers to us because we're compassionate. We have to respond or we wind up persecuting, like the Old Testament says, and mocking them. I mean, be a priest for a year, and I can tell you all kinds of stories about stuff that people said I said that I never said. Because it justifies them. I don't take it personally. It's kind of like, oh, well, you know. We started out this season with the reading from Joel that said, return to me with your whole. That doesn't happen when you die. Starts now. Starts now. And so that's why the second reading that we had from Ephesians today is so great. This is how it happens. Brothers and sisters, God, who is rich in mercy because of the great love he had for us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, has brought us to life in Christ. By grace we have been saved. So this thing we've been talking about during these last 3 weeks about being broken, that's what it means, being dead in our transgressions. And God is merciful in his great love for us right now, even though we're jerks. Even though we have problems. Because God's is rich in mercy. He's rich in mercy. So if you look at history and all the things that happen, does God intervene directly? Sometimes. There are some times when somebody gets a report from the doctor about a cancer that's supposed to be eating them up and it's gone. And the doctor doesn't know how it happens. I think those are times that God intervenes directly. But most of the time, how does God intervene? Look around the church. That's how God intervenes, is through us. And if we are the messengers, we're going to get persecuted too and made fun of and mocked. If we stand up, take a step out in faith. It's having messy conversations. Oh, I'm not going to talk to him because you know what he thinks about that and he's really mad. Okay, you got the inside dope. You need to talk to that person. Doesn't mean you're going to win, but that's your vocation, that's your job. Because we're reminded in that reading that people have chosen darkness to light. They prefer darkness to light. But God's been merciful to us in our sinfulness, thank God. And so as we look at and there are really awful things going on in the world. And so one response is to say, why did God let that happen? And then we say, why did they let that happen? And then we say, why did we let that happen? And ultimately we ask ourselves, why did I let that happen?